Turn with me, let's take the Word of God and turn to the first chapter, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, we'll read from the Word of the Lord. And I believe that God will bless your heart in the reading of the Scriptures. Now, for time's sake, I want to tell you something about this chapter. They brought a man to the Lord Jesus Christ who was dumb and blind. And the Bible said Jesus healed him. I'm glad Jesus always healed those they brought to him. He can heal the brokenhearted. The Lord Jesus Christ can mend those that need the mending touch of the Lord. And the Bible said that's what they brought the man to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus healed the man. The Word of God said in verse 31, if you have your Bible, you know with me, wherefore I say unto you, all men of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven of men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. For whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, or neither in the world to come. I want you to notice what the Scripture says. It said, and whosoever shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, there hath no forgiveness. I want you to bow for just a word of prayer, if you will, and we're going to pray God's anointing on the preaching of the Word of God. I want you to pray that God's Spirit will move as we bring the message. Father, we do thank thee for the Word of God, and I'm glad that Jesus is ready and willing to mend the brokenhearted. I'm happy to know that Jesus Christ has never turned down one in need. And so if there be one today, if there be one that may be listening, I pray that the Spirit of God shall so move until every person will know that Christ is real, and that the Lord can touch that broken heart, and the Lord can forgive that one that stands in need. And all you do will praise it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, I want to speak to your heart on the thought, God's deadline. And before I get into the message, may I make some remarks about God's forgiveness. I'm glad that God is a forgiving God. I'm glad that Christ is a Christ who never turns one down. But he talked about in his ministry a great sin. There was a great healing in his ministry. A man dumb that could not speak. A man blind that could not see was made whole. And after that, some of the people murmured. And they said, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has blasphemed. He did this in the power of Beelzebub. And then Christ begins to warn these. And Christ said unto those, he said, if you speak against the Son of Man, I can forgive you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, there hath no forgiveness in this world, neither the world to come. Now with that in mind, I want to talk to you about God's deadline. I hear somebody say, preacher, is there a sin that the blood won't cover? Is there a sin that can find no forgiveness? I believe there are three deadlines. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God. But first, let me give you four misconceptions people have had about the unpardonable sin. Some people say that murder, say, preach, if your hand drips with blood, can God forgive a murderer? He forgave old Saul as he stood there and held the garments, my friend, and Saul did stone Stephen. Paul was a murderer, but I'm glad he was lost in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus and his precious blood. And so you say, preacher, can God forgive a murderer? I'm glad that I do not have a blood dripping from my hands. But if I were a murderer, I'm glad that there is a fountain filled with blood. God covered many things, and the Lord could forgive that sin. Then here's another misconception. They say adultery. You recall in the Word of God, they brought a woman to the Lord Jesus. The Bible said she was caught in the very act of adultery. And when those Pharisees and hypocrites and their self-righteous robes on, you know, they're like a lot of modern-day church members. They're so nice and so sweet, but they've never been saved. They don't know anything about the grace of God. They know nothing about the cleansing of the blood. But here they came and dragged this woman up to Jesus and said, Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. I'm glad Jesus just reached over and he started writing in the sand. And as he wrote, he looked up and he said, where are you fellas going? He just cast without sin cast the first stone. And he stooped over and wrote again. And when he looked up, all the men were leaving. And Jesus said, woman, where art thine accusers? And she said, Lord, I have none. And then this poor old woman that was taken in adultery heard the sweetest words, I guess, you could ever hear. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. But there's a third misconception. A lot of people think that sin are crossing God's deadline is cursing or swearing. Now, the cheapest thing I know is a person that curses or swears. But that's not an unpardonable sin. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. But the Lord has sent an angel down to the hot coal and parched his lips. And that cursing man, let me say this, when you get saved, you get a new vocabulary. Hallelujah. Why, there's no such thing as a man going around here telling nasty jokes and cursing and swearing if he's saved. Brother, God cleans your lips up. Amen. I do not use tobacco in any form. But if I had my choice and I was going to do one or the other, I believe before I'd curse, I'd chew tobacco. At least you get a little juice out of the tobacco. Say amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, I said I didn't do either one, but the cheapest thing I know anything about is one of these women here in this part of Alabama blaspheming and cursing the ways. Even though it's an awful sin, I'm glad Jesus can forgive. Bless God, when I got saved, God took a deck of cards out of my back pocket and put a Bible there. He quit my cursing and put a shout in my soul, and he changed my vocabulary. So it's not swearing and cursing. And then number four, it's not theft. I think that a man that steals, a man that power that would steal and take that which doesn't belong to him, is an evil man. But you say, preacher, you mean to say that God will forgive that man that steals? Let's see if he will. The dying people rejoice to see the fountain in his day. And there may I go by as he have all of my sins washed away. You should know there are a lot of people that steal people's character, and they steal God's money, and they steal God's time. I tell you, my friend, you're going to have to answer. If you're one who's stealing from God, you're going to have to answer someday. But if you have your bezels, I want to give you three deadlines mentioned in the Word of God. Three sins which have no forgiveness. The first is sending away your dead griefs. My Bible said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Did you know there's such a thing as a man going beyond the rooms of mercy? There's such a thing as passing up your space for repentance. I'm glad when God convicted my soul that down in that college I knelt down, and while the door of mercy was open, I prayed God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the sweet Holy Spirit brought me in to the family of God. Did you know you're looking at a preacher that's had two births? I had the first went into the Jackson family, and then I've been born in the God family. The first time I was born of the flesh, the last time I was born of the Holy Ghost. And there's the second birth. But you say, preacher, what does it mean? Send away your day of grace. Let me show you three cases from the Bible. In the days of Noah, they sinned away their day of grace. The Bible said in yet 120 years, and I'll destroy all flesh. Did you know, my friend, that in the days of Noah, they heard that righteous preacher preach. They called him a crackpot. They said, why, he's another lame greenhouse. That's about the buck he said. And they said, he's another Mace Jackson, so to speak. And did you know he is preaching lame? All the rest of those little compromising, backscratching, ear-tickling preachers in the days of war, they're preaching sunshine. And they said, come here, our little pastor. He wants coals. I wouldn't give you a nickel with a hole in it for one of these preachers. But you're not preaching. That's not the word of God. And preaching, I can honor be preached. No, sir, I tell you, I believe that a preacher ought to stand with God's message and preach it as it is to men as they are. But you know, the Bible said, yes, 120 years. Did you know, after the 120 years, Noah, Ham, Shem, and Jacob, and their lives went into that ark. And God shut that door. I'm glad just Noah was on the inside instead of on the outside. Did you know that I'm on the inside? You talk about the in crowd, brother. You're looking at a bird that's on the inside. Thank God, I'm on the inside.
inside. And the word of God said, you were set up there in the door of that ark for 7 days. 7 is God's number, and God extended their grace for 7 days. Yeah. They no doubt came by, blew the dear sons up at old Noah said, what are you doing sitting up there in the door? And old Noah said, I'm waiting for the hand of God to close your heart, boys. And then the storm is coming. And when that door was closed, my Bible said it rained. And the whole world was flooded. Every living, breathing thing outside that ark was drowned. So in the days of Noah, they sent away their day of grace. In the days of Sodom, Abraham went upon that mountain. Abraham prayed, listen. And as he prayed, the word of God said, if I turn 50, or 45, or 40, or 40, or 30, or 20, or 10, I'll not destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God came down and found not 10 righteous people. And the day that the angels dragged the lot out, remember the day of grace for Sodom ended. And they all of a sudden, they were actually obliterated and destroyed with fire and brimstone. They were consumed with the fire of heaven. And so in the days of Lot, and then in the days of Jesus, I love to talk about Jesus. I want you to know Jesus is the only one. And Jesus, bless God, is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's mighty to save, and there's no one that can save you except the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll find that Jesus told this in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. He said, I know a man that made a supper, and he invited many to come, and they started making excuses. And one said, I'd like to come, but wait, Jesus. He said, I'd come, but I bought a piece of land, and I can't come. You know what's the matter with him? He was thinking about living down here. I've got a little lot over yonder. Oh, hallelujah, Bill of Heart. Bless God, near Bill of Square. And I've got a mansion over the hilltop where the taxes never come due. And thank God the termites will never destroy it. And that mansion will be there forever. And I'm going to live with God. But you know what happens to a man that builds only for this world? This world shall be destroyed, and the lust thereof. And so the first fellow couldn't come. He gave you that piece of land. Second fellow said, I've got 5 yoke of oxen, and I can't come. I've got to check my oxen. You know what the Bible said? He said he prayed thee to be excused. But the third fellow had a real excuse. He said, where did I get my hat? He went in to get his hat. And he married old Jezebel. I'm sorry for you fellows that married Jezebel. Say amen right there. Bless God. Listen, it's pitiful that men run around have to ask their wives everything. And bless the Lord, they're in need of that. And their wives, bless God, run everything. Government's pitiful. Well, some of you men are under petticoat government. Did you know that? And you have to bow and you have to sleep. I used to have a fellow in my church named the King. And his wife was in mine here. And boy, I'd get up on Sunday morning and I'd say, I'll be speaking Tuesday night in Perry, South Carolina. I'll be speaking Thursday night in Camden, South Carolina. I'll need someone to drive my car. After the service, I'd see Brother King. He wasn't but 6 feet and 3 inches or 4. And he'd come up and I'd say, King, can you drive me to the meetings? And he'd say, well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll drive you. I'd say, well, go ask your wife, Iron Ed, and find out if it's God's will. And let me know, hallelujah. And he'd go over and say, honey, can I drive Brother Mays to the meetings? He'd say, no, you can't. And he'd come over and say, Brother Mays, it's not the Lord's will. Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, bless God, go home, set your foot down, let a lioness know, bless God, who's the boss. Amen. Amen. One day I went up to the store after Sunday, and it was on Monday morning, to get some milk and bread, and I preached the Sunday before, and I looked over at King, and I said, King, I said, the Bible said the man is the head of the house, and you be the head of the house. You know what he did? He went back up the house that the next morning. He came up in the store with a big patch over his eye. And he said, I'm not speaking to you. I said, why won't you speak to me, King? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, it may work up there where you're preaching, but up at my house, it just doesn't work. That's all there is. Oh, listen, this fellow said, I'd like to go to heaven, but he said, I married a wife and I can't come. Now, watch this. If you read on the next few verses, there, and none of these, feast that were invited, we'd get to eat of that supper. In other words, Jesus said, you're through. I invited you to come, and you would not come. And Jesus said, none of these were invited. None of these did get to eat that were invited. But if you read on down in that scripture, Jesus said, go out and invite the poor, and the maimed, and the blind, and the halt. And I'm in that crowd. I'm glad he came out to invite the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind spirit. And these did get to come. But the fellow that said, I've got a piece of land, he didn't get to come. The man that said, I tell you, I got 5 yoke of oxen, he didn't get to come. The man that said, I married a wife, he didn't get to eat of that supper. Say, why? Because I believe that in the way, the day of grace, in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom, in the days of Jesus, and in the days of 1974, I believe that's what God calls you. And you stick on your neck and say, no to God. I believe that you can go beyond the space of repentance and go beyond the grace of God. But the first deadline is sin, away your day of grace. The second one is the sin and the death. It does with a Christian. You say, what do you mean? Has it to do with a Christian? Yes, sir. John said, and by the way, remember that John wrote in 1 John to tell you how you can know that you're saved. I'm sorry for these people running around here and say, I hope I am. I think I am. Brother Davis, the one Baptist preacher that has no doubt about it. I know, praise God. I'm a saint of God, a saint, I'm a child. Hallelujah. Yeah, says somebody, said, preacher, you know you're saved. I know I'm saved just as much. I know I'm standing here behind this rostrum in the Charlotte Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Alabama. I know that I'm born a Christian. I've got an inside witness. And the Holy Ghost witnesses. And it's blessed to know that you're saved. Paul writing, or John writing here, the first John, he said, these things are written that you may know. Then he comes and says in chapter 5 and verse 16, that there is a sin in the death. He's talking to Christians that know they're saved. He said, but there is a sin unto death. You remember what Brother Wayne said last night? He said, first of all, God warns you, Christian. And then secondly, God chastens you as a Christian if you heed not the warning. And thirdly, you're turned over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. If you know if you commit the sin unto death, listen to me, as a Christian, if you commit that sin, you might as well go pick out your coffee. And you might as well call Brother Wing, tell him to get a good text, because, mister, they're going to have a funeral around here. Oh, you say, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm not trying to scare you. John said, don't pray for it. There is the sin unto death. That's John 5:16. There are 3 ways that you can commit the sin unto death. Write them down. The first one is living after the flesh, after your faith. Romans 8:13 says, listen, Paul talking about those that are saved in verse 14, he said, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. Did you know I've got the Holy Spirit leading me? He guides me. He directs me. Every Christian is led by the Spirit. Now go back up in verse 13. Here's what it says. But if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, I didn't put that in there. God put it in there. The Holy Ghost puts it in there. He said, if you Christians live after the flesh, you're going to die. In other words, if you take your vacation and leave your Bible at home, and you ladies get you a bikini and get out there on the beach and get you a cigarette and say, well, they'll never know it up there. God said, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. He says that about you men. He says that about you young Christians. Lot's wife lived after the flesh. She turned back. And you know what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. Brother, she died. So as you listen to this message, you can commit the sin unto death by living out to the flesh. Brother, if you were saved, you ought to love holiness. I'm talking about Bible holiness. You ought to love the things of God and walk in the Spirit. And I tell you, my friends, if you're here today and if you're walking out to the flesh as a Christian, if you're yielding to the flesh all the time, God said, I'm going to kill you. I'll put you in a hole out somewhere. There's a second way. Making a vow, not keeping that vow. God said, I'll kill you. And I see Sapphire lied to the Holy Ghost. They made a vow and said, if you'll help us sell the land, we'll give you all the money, Lord. And they made a vow to God. And here's what my Bible says. It's better not to make God a promise than it is to make that promise and break that promise. God said, I'll kill you if you run around here and say, Lord, if you'll get my boy out of jail, if you'll bring my boy back from Vietnam, if you'll give me a job, if you'll touch my little girl in the hospital. Oh, you can make him 10,000 promises, but remember, if you do, you better keep those promises. Have you made God a promise last year? I don't ever forget New Year's night. I knelt at the altar after I preached at 11:55, and I said, oh God, I want to make some vows. I want to shout more, win more souls, enjoy the old time salvation. Well, hey, I've been up there for what? And I said, God, by your grace, I'm going to do it. That's making vows to God. Now, if I don't do that, God will kill me, and brother, God will kill you. Here's Ananias. He comes in, and he lays his money down, Simon Peter, with one of those long-winded preachers. yes, sir. Brother, he's preaching truth. Amen. Wouldn't you hate to go to church and have your preacher to preach for 3 hours? Old Simon Peter's preaching, and the Bible said, Ananias the king put his money up there, and he said, wait, stop that path. Said, you didn't lie to this preacher, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And brother, God stuck him dead. He fell dead right there in the church. Read it. Acts chapter 5. 3 hours later, his old wife came in, and she probably had a glass stopped over up here, you know. And one of those sexy bonnets, and she ran down to the front, and old Simon Peter stopped and said, wait a minute, sister. You and your husband, let the devil put in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. And said, the same feet that buried your husband standing on it to death, and wham, God struck her dead, and there were 2 killed in 3 hours in the house of God, because they'd made a vow to God and kept not that vow. He says it's better not to make a vow, but it is to make a vow and break the vow. So here's the third way you can commit the sin unto death, by deliberate disobedience to the Word of God. Listen, my Bible says you're to keep this Word. You're to let this Word be a lamp on your feet and a light on your path. The Word of God is to guide you. Now in 1 Kings 13, you'll find a young man, he's called a man of God. Now listen, and he went down to Bethel, and when he got down to Bethel, God told him 3 things not to do. God said to that young man of God, don't drink any water. Number one, nothing wrong with drinking water, but when God tells you don't drink it down there, don't drink it. Number two, said don't eat any bread while you're down there. Nothing wrong. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, give us our daily bread. And we need bread. But when Jesus said don't eat it today, you'd better not eat it. Thirdly, Jesus, or the Lord said to that young man, don't come back the way that you came down. And so he went down and had a great meeting, and a man's crying in the field. And an old apostate preacher that had been a compromised and amillennialist and everything else, sitting there over there, and said, young man, come to my house, God's spoken to me. And you know what? He went over there, and this old preacher backslid with a cigar, ran down his juice, a pipe, no doubt, and said, son, you can go back the same way you came, because God told me you could. Said, son, you need a little bread, because you'll get tired till you get home. And son, you can drink some water. But God's word had told him, the Lord had spoken and said, don't do it. And you know what this young man did? He got out and got up on his donkey and started home. And he said, I know I shouldn't go that way I came, but God told me not to go. And that old preacher said, go on! And that young preacher started up through the woods and behind an oak tree. This is exactly what the Bible said. There was a big king of the beast called a lion. And that lion had his paw ready. And when that young man rode by that oak tree, that lion reached up and grabbed that young man of God and tore him to pieces and left him by the wayside. You say, preacher, why did that lion kill him? God said, don't you eat any bread. Don't you drink any water. Don't you go back the way you came. And he did the thing God told him not to do. And God let a big old ferocious roaring lion tear him to pieces. And mister, if you disobey God, if you're saved, if you stick your nose up at the Word of God, if you laugh at God's Word as a Christian and say you'll live as you please, and the church can't make you do right, God said, all right, I'll let the undertaker get you. And the Bible said, there is a sin unto death. Are you following me? Listen to me. Number one, that's the sin of the sinning away your full of grace. Number two, that's the sin unto death. Number three, that's the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That makes me tremble. Because I recognize, and you should recognize, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of God, you go beyond God's mercy, and you go beyond God's grace, and you go beyond there, and you go beyond preaching, and you go beyond the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, there hath no forgiveness. There is nothing. He said, as I preached last night, there's no remedy if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit has to convict you, and he has to draw you, and it's a great day. Brother, when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, you remember that time in your life when you was coming to church as a lost church member, when you didn't know the Lord Jesus, and some old preacher got to preaching that Jesus died, that he arose, and that if you come and believe and repent of your sin, yes, I'll be saved. You know what you did? You came down that aisle, but you didn't come alone. The precious third part of the third one of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that caught you. He's the one that arrested you. He's the one that took up and fell over and brought you down to the Lord Jesus. He, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is the one that not only convicts you and not only constrains you, but he's the one that breaks you into the presence of God. I was preaching the other night, and a little old boy got up in the service, and he said, I want to sing. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. Did you know I'm so glad I'm in the family of God? God's my father. Jesus is my elder brother. The Holy Ghost is my comforter. And the devil's not even my 42nd cousin now. Hallelujah, brother. It's good to know that you're in the family of God. That's what it was redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. But the three things that will happen to you if you cross over this third deadline. Three things that will happen to you. Number one, John 12:39 says, and they could not believe. You'll never be able to believe. Have you ever met a person that could not believe? Several years ago, I was in Pennsylvania in a meeting. Man came each night to hear me preach. And he'd sit back in the congregation, and as he sat there, I'd preach and he'd tremble. And the dear pastor, Brother Earl Thomas, would say, "Maze, that man is standing on the very verge of eternity if he doesn't believe under righteousness." You see, the Bible said, and there's a difference between head belief and heart belief. Historical belief and a personal saving belief is different. Everybody believes out here Jesus died, but it doesn't affect you until it gets down in your head. And bless God, you believe under righteousness. The Bible said, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, men believe unto righteousness. What a blessed time to believe and know you're changed, a new creature. As Brother Jack quoted that scripture last night, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. What a blessing. The Bible says, that man sat in the back of that church in Pennsylvania, and he came up to me one night and he said, "Preacher, if I knew I could believe, that Jesus loved me enough, and that Jesus took my place on the cross, and if Jesus came out of that tomb and marched out, and that Jesus is now seated upon her, you say, I will be my lawyer." He said, "If I could believe that." And he took out his pocketbook. He said, "I'd give you all the money that I have." I said, "Mister, Jesus paid it all to him we owe. Sin had lost a crimson stain, but the blood can wash it white as snow." Then the tears ran down his cheeks. And he said, "But the man," he said, "I want you to know, I can't believe." I said, hear what you say. He said, "Preacher, I can't believe." I said, "My, you can't believe. You're trembling." I said, "You're crying." I said, "You may be standing on the very brink of hell." And the last night, I went over to catch the little commuter flight down to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to come back to Atlanta. And the Brother Thomas, as we flew in the little commuter train, I never forget. He said, "Brother Moose," he said, God will never save that man." I said, "Earl, don't say that." He said, "If that man did not believe tonight, he'll never believe." And you know what they did? 3 days, he left home. He never did go home that night, to be honest with you. They called the Pennsylvania militia. They called the highway patrol. They called the National Guard to hunt for him after 2 days. You know where they found him? At the back of that church. He'd been down to the river. One of the most beautiful places I've ever seen for church. They used to have a military academy up on the hill. You folks in Pennsylvania will be listening to this record. You know what I'm talking about. A beautiful military school used to be there. They had a beautiful church there. It was beautiful. People would stop by and look at acres of grass, and they kept it cut and mowed just beautiful. That man went down to the river and stayed 2 days. And the third day, he got up and started toward the church. And he got within about 20 feet of the church and fell dead. When the man came on Wednesday afternoon to mow the lawn, he found him lying out there with his face down, headed toward the back of the church. Brother Thomas got on the phone, called me long distance. Said, Marines! He didn't believe that he's in hell. Said he walked out on me Sunday night. We found him a while ago. I'm getting ready to go to prayer meeting in a few minutes. He said his prayer meeting's torn up. I've been at the funeral home. And they just got his body back. He said it's sad. But he said, Brother Mays, that man crossed over God's line. And he couldn't believe. Here's the second thing that happens. Ephesians 4 and verse 19 says, listen to me. It said, being past fearing. I know you're not saved by fearing. I'm saved by grace and faith. Cost nothing. Minus nothing. Brother, you're not saved whether you feel it or not, but I'm glad since I've been saved, I have some pretty good feelings. Yeah. You know, you say, well, what are those? That's dessert that comes after you. Every once in a while, I get to feeling pretty good. I was up in a prayer meeting the other night, and there's walking all over this church here in Tennessee, and there's a shot in the men praying, and I want to tell you something. I didn't feel like I was 51. I felt like I was about 25 one more time. Somebody said, you, I like that. I like to feel that way, but you're not saved by feeling. But I'll tell you what you can do. Ephesians 4, verse 19, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And Paul said, I want to tell you folks something. You've left your first love. And then he comes on down and says, I want to tell you, you can get to that place where there's no feeling. You have no feeling toward God. Last night, because a young man said to one of the men in this church, I've been here in Mace Jackson every night, and I don't have anything. Isn't that right? He said, I haven't felt anything. I'm sorry for him. I'm not criticizing him. I could get out to his altar and pray until he could feel the Spirit of God moving and drawing to God. But he told the man in this church that I've heard names, and I don't feel anything. I have heard God speak to me a time. Well, all I've got to say, if it's you sitting in front of me this morning, or you that have been here every night, if you've been in this church every night, you're not right with God, you haven't felt the Spirit of God in conviction, I'm sorry for you. You must have a stone pride. Oh, your mind must be petrified. Repeat that, please. Well, there's no feeling. Years ago, I never forget, I was studying to write a thesis on mental sickness. I went down to the mental hospital and a young intern was taking me around. I was making some notes to write a thesis on mental disorders. And we came to a woman. She's in the cell. She's beating the wall. And he said, you can't help her, Reverend. I said, wait a minute, Doc. Wait now, intern. You wait a minute. I said, I can't help her. But I said, the Lord can help her. He said, oh, the Lord can help her. I said, what's the matter, Doc? He said, she's past feeling. When he said that, I grabbed him. I said, Doc, what'd you say? He said, that woman is petrified. Said, she's past feeling. Said, I don't know the Bible, Reverend. But said, does it say anywhere in the Bible that a person can get past feeling? And I said, yes, sir. Ephesians 4, verse 19 said, past feeling. He said, there she is. He said, I didn't know it's in the Bible. Oh, he said, she buried her little child alive and covered that little child up and stalked the ground. And said, she has no feeling. Said, Brother me, she's past feeling. I believe you cross over that deadline. Not only now, friend. Well, when you get to that place where you can't believe, but you pass feeling. Number three, I believe God will cut you off. I don't believe God will let you live. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Proverbs 29, verse 1 said, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall what shouldn't be destroyed. In other words, God said, I'll kill you. Just like that, if you heard the message, and you say, no, God said, I'll kill you. It's a terrible thing to know that a man can hear the word this morning. Harden his neck, that's what the book said, against God. Harden his neck! And then walk out of here, God said, I'll kill him now. I'll kill him. Say, preacher, that's bad. Listen to me. I used to try to pass the church. And listen, I remember one night, a young fellow had been coming to our services. He was about 20 years old. And he rode a motorcycle, a new Harley Davidson motorcycle. And he wore nice riding trousers, nice boots. He had a jacket on, I guess, in those days. And that's been 20-something years ago. It cost $75. Today, it probably cost you $250 to get a jacket like that. And he sat there and knocked on the third night he came. We had a house filled with people on Sunday night, and we had to put chairs out. And I had a good deacon, Brother Old Roberts, and a fellow that led the singing. He's now gone to heaven. His name was Early. Brother Early Digger. And Early was leading the singing that night. And I got through preaching. I noticed that boy, he had his helmet, the one he wore when he was riding the motorcycle. And he twisted it, and he stood up, and he twisted that. And I said to Brother Early, when you're singing, I said, go back and ask him, doesn't he want to be saved now? Brother Early ran back and said, young man, Brother May said, this is your night to get saved. He looked at him, his lip quivered, and said, Ted, Brother May, I like him. I've come all the way from West Columbia, South Carolina, and said, I've been here, this is my third night. But Ted, Brother May, I can't get saved now. Brother Ray came up, and I leaned over. I said, Ray, you tell him. I said, God will kill him if he don't get back to the job tonight. I've never said that. I trembled. Brother Ray went back and said, when May Jackson said, God will do something, I believe him, sir. He said, would you tell me? I don't want God to kill me, but I can't come. He said, the Bible said, he that being often reproved, and said, Mace Jackson's reproved you with the word of God, and Mace said, God will kill you. And so Brother Early motioned for me. I said, Early, sing the next stanza. I jumped off of that rock and went back to that fine looking young man. I said, son, are you coming to God? He said, no, not now. I said, I'll be back next Sunday night. I said, you'll never make it. I said, do you know where Thompson Funeral Home is in West Columbia? He said, yes, sir. I live not far from it. I said, the man that owns that funeral home is a good friend of mine. By the way, that funeral home is still in existence down there. If you ever go to Columbia, go to Thompson Funeral Home, West Columbia. And I said, he said, I live behind. I said, that man will pick you up and have you in a coffin. Brother, I walked back up there, and that boy shot out of that church. And I said, Brother Way, I said, go get him. And that boy put his helmet on, tacked it up under his chin, got up on that motorcycle, and I didn't know what you called it then, but they called it kicking it off. And he had a brand new, just 3 weeks old, Harley Davidson motorcycle. And he kicked it once it wouldn't start. And the way he said, God will kill you, son. God will kill you! And that boy said, you tell old Mays I like him and I'm coming back. I hope God don't kill me. I went home that night and wouldn't go to sleep. And I said to my wife, I'm going to sit up in here and wait for Tootsie Thompson to call me to pick up that boy. She said, Mays, I hope not. I said, I do too. I sat up till about 3 o'clock and I said, well, praise God. God, you didn't kill him. I said, thank you, Jesus. I went to bed and I told my wife, I said, now let me sleep till at least 8 o'clock, please. Now give me 5 hours. I preached 5 times yesterday and I'm tired. I need 5 hours sleep. And I said, okay. 7:30 she came in, so I can't let you sleep in the line of the telephone. I said, God, who is it? She said, I don't know. It's some man. I said, please tell him to call back at 9 and let me sleep another half hour and I'll get up and shave, take a bath. She said, no, it sounds urgent. I said, okay. I went in and I said, hello? And Tootsie Thompson said, hello, Mays, this is Thompson Funeral Home. I said, well, before you tell me, what time did you pick him up? He said, I didn't call. I said, now, Tootsie, don't tell me that. I said, what time did you pick that boy up? He said, I called you to tell you when you get your new auditorium, I'm going to buy a new pew and give it to you in memory of my daddy that loves you, Mays. I said, Mr. Thompson, listen to me. Listen to me! What time did you pick that boy up? He said, a few minutes ago. Was riding this motorcycle down West Columbia Hill. If you've ever been to Columbia, there's a bridge separating Columbia from West Columbia. Some of the people that get this album will know what I'm talking about. And there's a road called Lexington Highway from Lexington, South Carolina, and an old ice plant used to be there. He said, Mays, that boy was coming down West Columbia Hill to go to work over at New Power Company. And said, on that motorcycle, he turned and saw that man coming out of that Lexington Highway, and he couldn't stop. And the boy turned his motorcycle and ran into the back of a bridge, or the back of a bus down at the bridge. He said, Mays! He splattered and said, his mother's on the way here. Can you come? I said, yes, sir, Tootsie. I'll be there as quick as I can. Make a long story short, I called away. I said, away? God killed that boy. He said, what'd you say, Mays? I said, God killed that boy. I said, didn't say last night that you went out there and tried to give him up to leave? I said, away! You and Early, call Early, and y'all beat me to the funeral home. I got there first, and the mother had already gotten there. And Miss Thompson said, Krista, come back and talk with her. I went back, and I got her in by her. She's lying there on the couch. And there was dear, all kind of first aid. And I said, dear, this is Preacher Mays, pastor of the church, Baptist Church. She said, God bless you, Brother Mays. Did my boy get saved? But he told me last night before he left to come to hear you preach. But he wanted to be saved. Said, I felt like he felt he was going to get killed. Said, did he get saved? I said, no, ma'am. If he didn't get saved, I'd be at our church. And sometime when he started down the West Columbia Hill this morning, if he didn't get saved, I said, ma'am, he'll never be saved. And she threw up her hands and screamed and said, oh, my God. He crossed over the bad line! he crossed over the dead line. My friend, it's a solemn day. Jesus said, if you cross over that dead line, there hath no forgiveness in this world, nor the world to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed.